I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Thanks for joining us today. Two forever wars. Looks like that might be where we're headed. We've already got one in Afghanistan, 16 years and counting. Now the U.S. may be going down the same road in Syria. Hold on to that thought. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. First, though, the ISIS caliphate may not be forever. The radical Islamists have lost most of their territory in Syria and northern Iraq. And residents of former ISIS-held regions are starting to pick up the pieces of their lives that ISIS shattered. The World's Richard Hall recently returned to the region himself and caught up with a teenager he first met a year ago. We'll call him Ibrahim to protect his identity. They met in Ibrahim's hometown of Bartella, Iraq, near Mosul.
We're driving through Bartella now, and there's the damage is just really hard to describe. There's bullet holes everywhere, whole buildings are destroyed. It really feels like a ghost town.
Ibrahim has been back in his hometown for just a few weeks now, but this is the first time he has really ventured out. These streets are full of bad memories for him.
I was walking through here. There was no one around. You could just hear the sound of dogs. That house was a Christian house. When ISIS came, they forced them to convert. When they escaped, we were the only ones left.
It's been almost a year since I saw Ibrahim last, in an office building full of displaced people in Erbil, some 40 miles away. Back then, he told me his Christian faith had got him through his time in captivity. He told me how he had hidden a small wooden cross he used to wear from his ISIS captors, and that he would one day go back to get it. But after his ordeal, he didn't go back to get the cross. In fact, he turned away from his faith altogether.
When ISIS came, and before that, everybody believed in Christ. That's why I hid the crosses. Now, after they went, I dropped all religion, all the way. I took it out of my mind.
I wondered how much of this was a teenager trying to discover his identity, or something else. I asked him to take me to the church where he used to pray. It's destroyed, like everything else, and the gate is locked.
So you sat in here for many hours when you were younger?
I always came here before anyone else. I was the first to come here. I used to sit alone, and I used to read for hours.
I asked Ibrahim if he would ever come back here.
I will come back, but I don't see this as a holy place.
On the way back to his house, Ibrahim says it was ISIS who led him away from his faith. He tells me that his traumatic time with the extremists and his forced conversion turned him away from all religion. I felt sad for Ibrahim that ISIS had changed him so dramatically. But I realized the more we talked that this was something more than Ibrahim losing his religion. He was finding something else. Back at his house, he shows me his bookshelf. He hands me books about religion and science. Then he points out a display he has made on his wall. Pictures of his favorite writers and thinkers that he has printed out. There's Richard Dawkins, the famous scientist, Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, Albert Einstein. During his time in captivity, Ibrahim developed an unquenchable thirst for knowledge, specifically for science. He was deprived for so long of learning that when he finally got out, he threw himself into it like never before. It's not far-fetched to see his transformation as a rejection of the extremist and unquestioning theism of the Islamic State that Ibrahim was forced to endure. His mother, Noor, still a practicing Christian, is not happy about his change.
I don't know what to do. I'm trying to convince him to come back to his religion because he was the best pupil. He was going to church every day, then coming home to pray. Since these devils came, he changed.
Before I leave, I drive through the main street and see that a few shops have reopened. It's going to be a long road to recovery for the town, but Ibrahim and his mother don't plan to be part of it. They hope to move to Canada with the help of a local charity. Ibrahim says he doesn't know much about Canada, just that it's very cold, and that it's a secular country that respects human rights. When I first met him after he escaped from ISIS, I asked him what he wanted to do with his life now he was free. Back then he said he didn't know. He couldn't imagine the future. But on this visit, he had an answer. He says, I know what I'm doing now. I want to be a scientist. For The World, Richard Hall in Bartella, northern Iraq.